We continue our learning of Mishmas David ben Menachem Moshe ben Yaakov ben Pinchas Elio. We are in Zvachim Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel. Kol Olam LaMizbeach. Whoever would ascend the Mizbeach, the Kohen that would go up, only Derech Ramin. He would go up the right side of the ramp. The ramp was 16 amos wide. He'd go up the right side, and then Umakifin, he'd go around the Mizbeach, the Yordan, and then come down Derech Small on the left side. So he would go around the Mizbeach counterclockwise. How do I know that he should be turning to his right? Turning to his right is moving to the east. So this is because he's going up the ramp in the south. So he's now turning to the right, going to the east, and then to the north, and then to the west, and then finally ending in the south. So this is derived, the Gemara in Dan Samach Beis Amid Beis, from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel describes the third Beis Hamikdash in Perek Mem Gimel, and he says, and the pasuk says, Uma'alosehu Pinos Kadim, which is the ramp, the steps going up, or they're referring to the ramp, is Pinos Kadim turns towards the east. So what's the east? If the east ramp is in the south, so then you're turning to your right. That's the east. And it's from here the Gemara derives, Kol Pino Shata Poner, whenever you have to make a turn, Lo Yehu Derech Yamin La Mizrach, you should be going to your right. And in this case, this was in the east. So that's how we would do generally when it comes to Karbonos, when it comes to the sprinkling of the blood, Chutz Mina Ole L'Shlosha Dvarim Elu, except if you would ascend the Mizbech for these three things that were mentioned at the end of the previous Mishnah, which were all done above the Chod HaSikra, and they are the Nisuch HaMayim, the Nisuch HaYayin, and the Olas HaOf. So when that Olas HaOf, when there was, you couldn't do it on the other corner, if you remember, we do the Olas HaOf in this corner in the Keren Dromis Ma'aravis. So this is, where was this? So the Keren Dromis Ma'aravis, the southwestern corners, was to the corner, was right to his left. Right over there. So why wouldn't you just go around? Do you want to take a shortcut? You don't have to go around. There's a question whether you were on the top of the Mizbeach. Maybe there was a separate smaller ramp over there. Machlokas Rishonim. But why just, why not walk, go to your right and walk all the way around? And then you'll end up in that area. So the Gemara explains that there's a reason why I want to take a shortcut. I don't want to walk all the way around for the Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayin, and the Olas HaOf. For the Nisach HaMayim, maybe not a big deal. The Nisach HaYayin, which was done every day, so that was the wine. The wine could be affected by the smoke of the Mizbeach. And it says, Tinimim Yulachem Niskehem, your Nisachim, your wine libations, have to be without blemish, just like your animals have to be without blemish. And they can be harmed by the smoke by walking all the way around. There's a lot of smoke on top of the Mizbeach. So better to go straight to your left, to that corner, the Keren Dromis Ma'aravis, the southwestern corner, and do the avoda of those, pour down the wine, pour down the water, and do the Olas HaOf, assuming there was no room on the other corner, do it in that area. So that's an exception to the general rule of Kol Pinos Shatapone Lo Yehu Ela LeYamin. Perek Vav Mishnah Dalid Chatas HaOf Ketzad HaSanasis. So the Mishnah wants to know how would they do the avod of the Chatas HaOf, bearing in mind that there was not Shchita for the Oaf, but you had to do Malika. So here the Mishnah describes the Malika. Haya Molek Esro Shomi Mul Arpa. The Kohen would do the Malika of its head, Mimul opposite Arpa, the back, the skull. So what exactly would he do? So the Bar Tanur explains a little bit, Oche Shtei Gapel B'Shtei Etzbosov Zeresu Kumitza Shel Yado Hasmalis. The left hand, the pinky and the ring finger, would hold on to the two wings between its two fingers. According to the Rambam, the two legs were between the ring finger and the pinky, and the two wings between the middle and the index finger, and then they would take the bird and make sure that it was on the back of his left hand, with the stomach of the bird. The front of the bird was on the back of his hand. This is all grasping it on the back of his left hand. And then he would use his right hand, the thumb that had the long nail of his right hand, and he would break the back of the neck. What exactly would he do? So he had to be careful that he should not cut through most of the flesh of the neck. He does have to pierce until he cuts through either a rove of the kaneh, which is the trachea, or rova the veshet, which is the esophagus. Just all you need is one of those two simanim. Most of it has to be cut. The Gemara says on Daf Samach Dalad that this was one of the most difficult avodas to do. So to be able to hold it properly in your left hand and then do it with the right hand and then do the piercing with the right hand is a very difficult thing. According to Tosus, you know why this is such a difficult avodah to do? Because as opposed to the way the Rambam and the Bar Tanur explain that you held the bird in this way in the left hand and you did the kemitzo with your right hand, Tosus says no. The holding of the bird is considered part of the avodah itself. So that has to be done all with the right hand. And the halacha is, and the Beis HaMikdash, to do avodah, you have to use your right hand. Anything you did, you have to do. You have to sprinkle with the right hand, Kabbalah Sadam with the right hand, everything has to be Ketores with the right hand, everything has to be done with the right hand. So if, in fact, holding the bird is part of the avodah, it has to be done with the right hand. So that certainly is an avodah kasha. Bar Tanur says, V'zu achas me'avodos kasha shebe'mikdash. One of the most difficult, challenging, skilled avodos that had to be done in the Mikdash. Certainly, if you're going to do this all with your right hand, that certainly was a great skill. But even with the left hand, you're able to hold the bird in the proper way. The Rambam, although in his Perusha Mishnayis, explains how the left hand is holding the bird between the different fingers and where the head is, the neck is, etc. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, in Masa HaKarbanos, Perek Zayin, mentions nothing about holding the bird in the left hand, which sounds like that's not something that has to be done. It's not part, and if you had the skill to do it with the right hand, you certainly could do so, but doesn't have to be necessarily done in the following way, even though the fingers have to be placed in a particular way, but if you didn't do it, one would be yotze anyway, and this karban chatas of would be kosher. Now, an important line is the next line where it says ve'enu mavdil. Enu mavdil means he doesn't separate. This is actually the Chumash speaks about ve'lo yavdil, that uses that phrase. What does it mean? The Kohen has to be careful not to separate the bird's head from its body when it does the malika. So that's what it means, the ve'enu mavdil. Now, the Bar Tanur explains this. Ve'enu mavdil harosh min haguf. You don't separate the head from the body. Elachotech shedra umafrekes v'rov basarimo. So what you do is you cut the spine, literally, and the neck, and most of the flesh. Ad shem agia leveshet olekoneh, until you get to the esophagus or the trachea. V'notu siman achal vado molek. And you cut one of those simanim, a majority of those. Kedichsiv v'lo yavdil. It says v'lo yavdil. Should not completely separate it. According to some, what this means is not that you shouldn't separate just the head from the body, you shouldn't actually separate both simanim. You should do one siman, and that's all. Of course you shouldn't separate the head from the body, but you shouldn't even cut both of the, even if the head is still attached, you should not be cutting both the veshet and the kaneh, both the esophagus and the trachea. And now it's time for the Zrika. How was that done? Umazem midama al kir hamizbech, and he would sprinkle the blood on the wall of the Mizbeach. How would he do this? So he would not take the blood in a separate hand. He would hold the bird in his hand and sprinkle the blood, and it would come out of the neck of the bird. What would he do? He'd just move the, hold the bird itself in his hand, swing his arm up and down so that the blood sprays out of the bird's neck onto the wall of the Mizbeach, Al-Kir HaMizbeach, and Shirei Adam, and whatever blood is left over after he did the Zrika Haya Mismatzeh Al-Hayisod. He would then press wherever he cut the bird, against that section of the bird, against the wall of the Mizbeach, and the blood would now come down onto towards the Yisod, as we know the Yisod, the base of the Mizbeach, and then Eila, and that's based on the Pasuk as well. It says, V'nimsa damo al kir ha-Mizbeach. V'nimsa nun mem tzadi hey, not mem tzadi aleph. So you squeeze it, and that was what you did this Shiarei Hadam. No, which means the Mizbeach only gets the blood, the meat of the bird chatas is not burnt on the Mizbeach. Mizbeach gets nothing from a chatas hof except the blood, as opposed to like animals, where we know the emurim which go on the Mizbeach, not when it comes to the bird. V'kula l'kohanim, and whatever meat the bird has from this carbon chatas goes to the kohanim, as opposed to when it comes to animals, which is where you don't, not all the meat, some of it is placed on the Mizbeach, some is eaten by the kohanim. Here, all the meat of the chatas hof is eaten by the kohanim. And as we mentioned earlier in the perek, that this has the same halacha as an animal chatas, in the sense that it's eaten by zichrei kohuna, only male kohanim, and it could only be eaten for a day, that day and the night that follows until chatzos, yom v'layla ad chatzos.